Hey, it's the Local Spotlight Show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I am Chris Lorton. I am your host today and maybe tomorrow and probably yesterday. And with me, my guest, which I've had on a few times before, Scott Mandrell. Welcome, Scott.
Good morning, Chris.
Yes. Scott. Actually has some roots here in Jersey County, right?
I do. Yeah, family farmed up in Kane years ago, and I've got a place down just outside of Grafton.
But you operate your business, Edward Jones. You got your office in Godfrey.
That is correct.
Which is right down the road.
That is correct.
And I thought maybe it would be a good time to have you in because it seems like... The market seems a little crazy right now, but I wanted to get your comments on it and maybe kind of reassure people, you know. What would you say, of course we have, you know, the Iran war going on right now and things are up and down and crazy. What's your opinion?
So a couple of things, Chris, and I appreciate you having me in, and I do think people need to be thoughtful about what's going on right now and aware of what's going on and informed. And I appreciate you helping to inform people on this stuff. First of all, when we talk about the market, I would encourage people to remember that there are really two markets. There's the stock market and the bond market. And a lot of times when we're talking about this volatility or what we're hearing about in the news is really largely primarily we're talking about the stock market. Mm-hmm. So that's equities rather than the bond market. And what's going on right now is obviously impacted by what is happening in the Middle East. But there's also, and I think this is very, very important for people to remember, is that there is a cyclical nature to the market. And quite frankly, from a data-driven statistical perspective, we are in a period right now that would just rhythmically be a natural time for a likely contraction or correction in market growth.
Yeah, I think when I had you in, 6 months ago or so? I don't know.
It's less been, than that, but yeah.
Less
so,
than that. Yeah, a few months ago. We had talked and that's what you said. It said it's pretty predictable. Every 4 years?
Roughly.
Roughly every four years or so. I mean, the market will go up, and then it'll come down, and then it'll be down for a little bit, and then come back up. And that's been kind of historic, right?
Right. For the modern stock market, and we're talking maybe 110 years or so, give or take, the cyclical rhythm is about 3 years up, 1 year down. From these sort of ballparking this a little bit, but roughly you can anticipate that in any given year, we probably have on average about 3-5% corrections. Every year on average, we will see somewhere near at least one correction that is near 10%. And then about every 4 years, there is what we refer to as a bear market, which is actually defined by a 20% or more correction in market capitalization. And that's what we refer to as a bear market. And that's where we sort of think we might be right now. It's very difficult to say, you know, where the bottom is at any given time, but we can certainly look back historically. And 2022 was our last true bear market. We had an artificial bear market in 20 because of COVID. And then prior to that would have been back to 18. So 18 to 22 and now 26. These rhythms are largely predictable in that is their historic pattern.
And what can a person do about it? Is there anything? Just a side question. You know, people that, you know, I have some friends and I know some people that are day traders, you know, are kind of a hobby, you know, they kind of do it. What can you do about that? I mean, what do you think they're doing?
Well, that's a great question. We should ask them, what are you doing? We're not really in that, you know, in that business. We're about building long-term wealth, building generational wealth, hopefully, and helping people certainly, prepare for retirement, live quality lives in retirement, but also to grow their wealth for the purposes of passing wealth to future generations or to causes and community, giving back to community through financial contributions, the long game. And so when you ask about, what should people do right now? One, first of all, if you're working with a financial advisor, I would encourage if your financial advisor is not reaching out to you and communicating with you right now, even if it's just to allay your fears, I would reach out to your financial advisor and pose those questions you might have to that individual. And if you're not working with a financial advisor, I would encourage you to perhaps seek one out that you feel comfortable working with. But if you are working with a financial advisor, it would be my hope for you that your financial advisor had already taken into consideration what is a known pattern in the market. So a lot of times there is a lot of angst and momentary frenzy in a moment like this when and the media, of course, keep in mind that the media is all, and with the exception of this particular outlet, okay, is oftentimes, wants to address this because it drives anxiety, right? It creates anxiety.
Yeah, and if people are anxious,
they tune in because they want to hear what's going on. They're worried. If you are working with a financial advisor and you have a long-term strategy and a plan, what's happening right now should generally not be a problem for you because it should have been anticipated and you should be properly allocated in your portfolio. It should be constructed to anticipate these sorts of downturns as they come. If, however, you feel that there is a concern and you and your financial advisor feel that there's a concern, you should have a conversation and see if there aren't steps that you can take. One of the things that you and I have talked about before is allocations, right? I mean, people get very flat-footed. They sort of, I went and talked to my financial advisor several years ago. I built out a portfolio and I have my portfolio and I'm going to set it and forget it. Well, that's not always the best plan. And certainly the older you get, you being proactive, I would say is a legitimate position to be in.
What would you suggest then as far as meeting with your financial advisor? How often? A couple times a year?
I would argue a couple times a year. I think probably certainly for our more high net worth clients, we may meet far more than that. We might meet quarterly or as needed. And I would argue that's always the caveat, right? As needed. And it's going to be different for different individuals.
Now, of course, we're in the Iran war. And you are a military guy. Right.
I was.
What's your history?
Military? So I did. So 20 years all told between regular Army Reserve and then I finished up with Guard. And so it was in from 86 till the end of 2005. So 20 year span there that was, amazing what we saw. When I went in, there were still guys who were Vietnam era. And then when I got out, we were.
Of course, we're in war with Iran. But I remember when they took the hostages back in, was that 86?
79. So November 4th of 1979, and my birthday was right around that, and I sort of remember it stuck in my head. It was November 4th of 1979. They kept the hostages for 444 days.
I remember you'd see on the news the number every day.
That's right.
It would come up every day.
And we used to, and quite frankly, I wish that we would, those of us who are old enough to remember, ought to be helping the younger generation remember this.
Oh,
if you remember, we tied yellow ribbons around every doggone tree we could, right?
Right.
And we tied yellow ribbons around the trees. We were very much tuned into that. Of course, we didn't have the internet and even very, broadcast television was still kind of limited at that time. So we were all hanging on the news of what was coming out. But I would just say that in that, you know, as we look now, we look back on that, all of these conflicts that we have had in the Middle East for the last 47 years, you can kind of trace their roots back to this Iranian upheaval, you know, and the Iranian, you know, caliphate that they're, so, you know, and so we hope that this is maybe perhaps the end of this. You know, Iran was a beautiful, wonderful, you know, westernized country, you know, with jazz clubs and movie theaters and, you know, and very, you know, progressive universities. And it was up until 1979.
Until 79? I mean,
until the Shah was overthrown. And, you know, so, you know, you and I talked a little bit about this before we started this broadcast, but when the Soviet Union fell in 89-90 and the wall came down in Berlin in 1989, that was followed by a period of great economic growth. There was a lot of economic activity, very positive stuff that happened.
Yeah.
Eastern Bloc countries that had been part of the Soviet Union started to do business with Western countries. And it was a very good time economically. There were a lot of what we referred to at that time as the peace dividend was an outcome of that. I would argue that we have the opportunity here for something very similar to that. If this very, very dangerous, radical, and terroristic regime is finally brought down in Iran, you know, and the Abraham Accords, for example, go forward with, you know, all these Middle Eastern countries deciding that they've had enough of this perpetual conflict, it's quite likely that we're going to see a tremendous period of economic growth.
Hey, if you're just joining us, I have Scott Mandrell in the office, past military guy and financial advisor with Edward Jones. And so actually, there could be, if we can get through this, could be some good times financially ahead in investments.
I believe so. And obviously, everybody right now is... You know, there is a tendency to be very immediate in our awareness.
Gas is high,
right? So yeah. Gas is high. It's not as high as it's been.
I mean, it was pretty low, and then all of a sudden, boom,
well,
it started shooting up.
It got pretty low after having been pretty high, lest we forget.
Right,
okay,
yeah.
It had been pretty high to begin with. And so we are paying more at the pump, and that is something very immediate. People are feeling the impact of that, and that is, and that has an impact on the economy as a whole because of, you know, all of the thing, goods and services that we derive from our economy are delivered, right?
So
energy is key. However, the volatility in the energy market has been exacerbated by the 47 years of danger and uncertainty that has come out of the Middle East, right? Mm-hmm. So if we're able to finally put an end to this looming perpetual threat that Iran has posed in that region, there's a great likelihood that we may see energy costs drop to levels that are maybe, you know, statistically as low as we've seen in our lifetime.
In my lifetime?
our lifetime. We're not that, you know, we're pretty close, I think.
Okay. Well, that'd be great.
So, I mean, I do think.
I would take your lifetime.
Well, and I want to say in all of this, I hope, and I certainly know in our community, I think that there is this awareness, but I would ask folks to, while you're concerned about the price of gas at the pump, don't lose sight of the fact that we have men and women in harm's way overseas who are making sure that the enemy does not bring the fight to our shore.
Yeah.
One of the things that Americans have been blessed by truly is that other than very small incidents, really, you know, since the Civil War, Americans have not felt the scourge of war. And I would encourage everybody to remember that it is the last thing we want. If you have any recollection of what happened on 9/11, as just a taste of it, you know, we don't want that to ever happen on our shores again. And so God bless the men and women of the United States military who are taking that fight to the enemy where they are and not allowing it to happen on our shores.
Yes, I know.
So tie a yellow ribbon around the old oak tree.
Yes, for sure. And just basically... just sit tight, pray, and just let things play out.
Well, as far as the conflict, I think we have, you know, competent leadership, and our military leadership is the best in the world. As far as the economic side of it, you know, we've been through this before. I may have shown you one time, but and I would encourage folks who are interested to really go back and look at what happened during major conflicts in our nation's past. And while there are definitely, you know, momentary disruption of regular economic activity, in the long run, you know, the free market capitalist economy is the most resilient and actually is built to absorb the impact of these types of things. So it's quite likely that we're going to see, you know,
I think people get nervous about, you know, like the forever wars that we've been involved in the last decades, you know. I mean, they get nervous about that. We don't want that. I mean,
well, those forever wars, though, are really, if you think about it, they are those forever wars that people refer to are largely encapsulated inside of the forever war that Iran started with us in 1979. Mm-hmm. When we think about, you know, when we talk about the forever wars, we're really almost always talking about the Middle East, aren't we? Somewhere, yeah. Maybe, and even if we get into Afghanistan and some of those things, we understand that. But a lot of this—
Well, Vietnam, would that have been Asia?
Yeah, but Vietnam was, I don't know that— I appreciate what you're saying. I think it's quite the contrary. I think there's a determination here to put a period at the end of the sentence, which has been a 47-year threat from a Islamic caliphate that wants to bring death and destruction to, you know, the rest of the world. And you know,
well, look what they do to their own people. I mean, they hang people that disagree with them,
you know,
or shoot them down. Like over 30,000 people got
mowed
down.
In January, right. Yeah. And that's pretty well documented. There's no real argument that that did or didn't happen. Everybody, you know, the world over pretty much acknowledges that that happened. And, you know, I wish that we would get back to a point where one of the, you know, obviously the First Amendment, the ability of us to have robust conversations and debate and dispute in a civil way, it's important that we can discuss issues and have opposing views in the United States without it deteriorating into violent interactions. And I hope that people remember how blessed we are to have the protections of the Bill of Rights and the First Amendment. And,
yes.
You know, that we can speak out against our government, whether we agree, we don't agree, and understand that in other parts of the world, you know, while we try to sometimes romanticize and put a shine on other parts of the world for whatever reason, if you've ever traveled to other parts of the world, it doesn't take long to realize how fortunate we are to be right here where we are.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So,
okay. Well, thoughts on investments in general in right now in this period of time? What are you thinking?
So it's funny. As I mentioned before, I mean, you should have a long-term strategy, and that long-term strategy should already be in place. It shouldn't be dependent upon what's happening this week. Or
is this a good time, if you're young, right? I mean, you're young and you really haven't got into investing yet. Is this a good time to get in?
Well, absolutely. Time, you know, in the three variable equation of investing, time is the force maximizer. Time is what allows compounding interest to happen for you know, dividend reinvestment growth and all those sorts of things. And it's funny because I will talk to people all the time about a variety of things, and everybody is different. It depends upon where you are on this. I'm going to say it. I hate to use the word journey.
Oh, in your life
journey, in your financial journey.
Yeah.
Everybody's at a different place, but there are certain fundamentals. No matter how things change or whatever, certain things that remain fundamental, elemental aspects of doing this. And I always ask a client when they walk in, they say, "Well, I don't know. The market's down right now, or this particular security I have, it's down right now." And I'll always say to them, what is the one thing that we all know about investing? The first thing we learn about investing, it's a phrase, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's buy low, sell high, right? It's buy low, sell high. So it's like if we're always high, it's very difficult to buy low. So you don't want to have an investment and watch an investment go down necessarily, but it is when things are down that they become oftentimes an attractive opportunity for you. Mm-hmm. I want to be very careful here and say that it is important that you do your homework. It is important, ideally, that you have a conversation with a financial investment professional who can give you guidance and maybe address things that you haven't thought of as you are making these decisions. But yes, times like this, despite the angst or anxiety that may be pervasive in the world, in the media, et cetera, at that time, these can offer tremendous opportunities. Times like this can offer tremendous opportunities.
Yeah.
Because we know that historically, after that correction, whenever that correction takes place, it is followed by an upturn that is, you know, oftentimes meteoric. It really takes off, right? And so it is often a good time. And we never know where the bottom is. People say, well, should I buy now? And it's like, well, if you believe that the investment you are making is in a quality security, mm-hmm. it's quality investment, and that you feel that the price that it is being offered at is attractive, then, you know, and it may not be, you know, you may not want to wait for the Black Friday sale, right? The Thanksgiving Day sale may be okay, or the, you know, the Labor Day sale might be okay to go ahead and make the purchase. You know, maybe you get a little bit more off if you wait till Black Friday, but then you have to stand at the, you know, you have to camp out on the sidewalk overnight and wait for the doors to open at 6 a.m. So I would argue there are a lot of buying opportunities right now,
yeah.
as things are down. But again, I want to just say with great seriousness that it is important that you do your homework and, if possible, have a conversation with somebody who is doing this every day, who can help you avoid an accidental misstep. Because, you know, a lot of times there are considerations that people don't think about. They say, oh, I'm going to buy some of that. Make sure that you're talking with somebody, you have an understanding of those things, and that you're not jumping from the frying pan into the fire, as it were. You know, you want to, but yes, there are great opportunities right now.
Well, I think we'll finish on that note.
Okay.
And thanks so much for coming in.
Yeah.
And any last words before we finish?
The sky's not falling.
Yeah.
The sky's not falling. You know, we're going through a correction right now. Whether the size of that correction, we don't know how big or little it's going to be. You know, we don't have crystal balls. What we do know is that the key to avoiding disaster is thoughtful long-term planning, working with a experienced and knowledgeable financial advisor, and there is absolutely no reason why individuals can't weather this storm and build long-term wealth for them and for themselves and their families.
Yes. Well, thanks so much, Scott, and okay. Have a great day.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure.
Bye-bye.